ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Fuelcast. I'm Carrington Clark, and this is your source to stay on top of the numbers behind the ongoing global energy crisis. It's Monday, June the 8th. We're recording mid-morning, and that's actually going to be very important for today's episodes. Let's look at today's figures. The price of Brent crude is back at $96 a barrel. It had fallen. It's back up again. The national average price of unleaded has dropped to $1.72 per litre, and the national average price of diesel has dropped to $2.17 per litre. Today, I'm joined by Alan Kohler, who's interrupting his King's birthday long weekend to help us dig into the major energy headlines. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Carrington.
Alan, let's start with the kind of breaking news that's happened in the last few hours. We have seen Iran send missiles towards Israel for the first time since the ceasefire went into effect back in April. So this seems to be a pretty major escalation. They say it's because Israel has struck sites in Lebanon, and again, once again, tying those two conflicts together. We have seen a move up in the price of oil. Donald Trump, though, seems to be doing everything he can to de-escalate this situation. He hasn't gone to social media, but he's done a round of interviews. He has suggested that it will be up to him about whether or not this war will continue, telling the Financial Times, when it comes to Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, will have no choice but to accept a deal with Iran. He says that he calls the shots and that Netanyahu does not call the shots. One thing that I'm cognizant of, Alan, is that Donald Trump's birthday is this weekend, which would seem to give him a pretty clear motivation that he wants this all tied up in a bow before this potentially gets in the way of both his birthday celebrations and also the 250th birthday celebrations for the US. What do you make of this latest back and forth between Iran and Israel in particular, and the ability of the president to get a deal done?
Well, what Donald Trump has not done is accept Iran's demands, which are that they get their frozen assets unlocked, and they get the cash, they get to control the Strait of Hormuz.
They don't want to give up their nuclear, the ability to do nuclear research and to, they say they're still after a nuclear energy program, right?
Yeah, that's right. So look, I mean, the reason there hasn't been a deal so far and then end to the war is because Trump won't accept those demands, and he won't, because it's basically the same deal that Iran signed in 2015, which he cancelled in 2018.
Let's see what happens later today. What did you make, Alan, of this OPEC Plus announcement? This is the group of oil-producing export nations agreeing to increase oil production by 188,000 barrels per day in July. Now, normally this would be a major announcement and we would see the price of oil fall, but given the current circumstances, does this announcement actually mean anything?
Not much. I mean, OPEC includes a bunch of African countries as well as Venezuela. OPEC Plus includes all of those countries as well as Mexico, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, a few others. But all those non-Persian Gulf countries contribute about 20% of the OPEC Plus output. And the Persian Gulf countries contribute sort of 80% of it. And they're not getting oil out, obviously, through the Strait of Hormuz. There is a fair bit of oil getting across Saudi Arabia on a pipeline to the Red Sea, and it is being loaded onto tankers there, but there's not that much of that. So, look, I think from what I can tell, less than half of the 188,000 barrels a day that OPEC's talking about could actually be delivered, which is not nothing. I mean, it's kind of, I think it's somewhere around 40-45% of that 188,000 barrels a day they're talking about could actually be provided. But yeah, I mean, it's mostly a paper promise, to be honest.
Speaking of the Strait of Hormuz, we have a question in from a listener to Fuelcast. They've asked, if only 20% of stock flows through Hormuz, why is it that it's having such an outsized impact on the world? We still have 80%, right? Is there an imbalance in what flows through? Alan, why is it that this knock, and I believe it's about, we think about 10%, I think the best estimate I've seen, there's been about a 10% reduction in the world supply of oil through this crisis because there has been offsetting measures put in place. But why does that have such an impact on the price?
I think the reaction mainly has been that it hasn't had as much of an impact as might have been expected. I mean, there are a lot of forecasts of price, the oil price going to $200 a barrel. In fact, it's as you pointed out just before, it's under $100 a barrel. And the reason for that is simply that the rise in price has led to a sort of destruction of demand. In particular, China has reduced its demand, its imports, by 40%. So that has kind of kept the lid on things. But why is everyone carrying on about 20% of the world's supply, or in fact 10% in reality? Well, the International Energy Agency has said a few times now it's the greatest disruption to oil supplies in world history. So, you know, it's not nothing. It's a fair bit. And obviously the thing is that the market's not that loose. I mean, it was pretty tight. And the pricing, oil pricing, it's done at the margin. And the other thing to note is that it's not just that it's done at the margin. It's also the fact that prices are set by commodity markets. Prices are not set by exporters or by anyone sort of setting the price. It's done by traders on commodity markets. And that is determined by a sentiment, you know, how they're feeling. And so the traders feel bad about it, you know, they push the price up.
Although arguably not as bad as you might think they should, considering how long this conflict has gone on for. And the futures markets are still predicting, aren't they, Alan, that there's going to be a dramatic fall in the price of oil pretty quickly because they keep expecting the Strait of Hormuz will reopen soon.
Well, that's right. Well, every couple of days, Donald Trump says, oh, we're about to do a deal. It won't be long. You know, Iran is desperate to do a deal. But markets kind of feel good about that. And the markets, you know, price goes down and then it goes up again because it doesn't turn out to be true. It's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster for the poor old commodity traders. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it for this edition of Fuelcast, ABC Business Daily. We'll be back in your feed tomorrow and we'll return with all things fuel on Wednesday. Catch you later, Alan.
Thanks, Carrington. See ya.